those of you who don't know, Susan Deegan, Chief Executive of Glasgow Life. Ivo, we won't mention the football. And David Behir from Agreco. Many of you know David has been a panellist here for a number of years. And Sam Ramzami, one of the doyens of, I guess, South African sport. Yes, Craig's putting his thumbs up there. And we're going to talk this morning about what are the new realities and how can we shape them. What's interesting, for those of you who know me well, I love my dogs. We don't have a family. I was out walking the dogs this morning just past 5 o'clock, and I was listening to Wake Up to Money, which is a UK program for those of you who don't live in the UK, which talks about the economic situation in the world, in the UK. There was a really interesting piece around sponsorship and the Football World Cup in Qatar, and the fact that many of the major sponsors in the next few weeks are going to drop the word Qatar and just use Football World Cup 2022. And I think that's a precursor to some of the discussions we're going to have here, looking at the questions that my esteemed panelists have given me. Some will be controversial, some will be pretty innovative and pushing the envelope quite hard, but I think it's an interesting discussion we're going to get into over the next 35 to 40 minutes. Morning, Sam.
Morning, at last, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
Yes, sorry about it.
Good.
How's remote means many things, yeah.
Yeah, how's Durban this morning? All good?
Late.
All good for you in Durban?
Yes, so far so good.
Good.
Flight arrived late, but the problem was connection here. Unfortunately,
okay.
I think it has to go underground and overground. Oh, something went wrong.
All right, well, we've got you now. It's great to see you.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Susan this morning, and Susan, leading on to the Qatar discussion, you know, one of the questions you put in this morning from the debate around the forthcoming World Cup in Qatar, what's the new reality in global events and will be held to account on their impact on the environment? How does a host city plan and deliver events and sustain
it? I got nothing. I don't see anything on the screen.
Sorry.
Sorry, that's the end of the question.
Sorry.
I am connected. Okay.
You should maybe ask Sam.
Chris is back better.
I think Sam's just doing a deal for a major event, obviously. anyway, I'll come back to the question for Susan. Susan basically was asking from a macro global perspective, how do hosts now tackle the issues around some of the ethical and moral and environmental issues, and particularly when we're sort of literally a few hours away from the Football World Cup opening in Qatar?
And I suppose, Paul, when I was thinking about the question, if you think about the word host, and we are at a host city conference, and if you're going to invite somebody to your house, you welcome them in, you don't ask them questions about where they come from, what their sexual orientation are, etc., etc. So if we are going to be host cities, if we're going to continue to welcome the world to our cities, then actually we have to welcome everybody, and we have to go that extra mile to make sure that the people we invite to the city are welcomed. And I suppose that takes me to the second part of being a host, is that you want your citizens of your cities, and Glasgow is a world-renowned as a friendly city, to welcome their visitors to their city. We want them to be great hosts. So to do that, then our citizens have to understand, well, why? Why are we bringing these events to our city? What benefit is that bringing to us and the world? Why come to Glasgow? So we have to then make sure that when we bring events to the city, it doesn't damage the infrastructure of a city. It doesn't damage the experience of living in the city for the citizens there. So we have got to take the citizens' perspective into account. And I suppose I'll maybe kind of maybe finish on a maybe an example from the Commonwealth Games, Paul. And when Glasgow reflected on the Commonwealth Games and what we did and what the benefit was, one of the biggest benefits was that sense of civic pride that the citizens felt in hosting the event. That didn't come by accident. That had to be worked at.
Anything to add, Ivo or David, on that?
You know, why
some question come up today. Why don't discuss before about the integrity or some, you know, challenges? 2 weeks before, you know, everybody knows years ago there is a new situation in this the country. So now they come with the big crowds. So, you know, you have to think before. Instead to direct, you have to act. Decide or not decide. But anyway, that's my question, you know, why they don't talk before about these issues, you know?
So that's an historical matter. I mean, for many of you, including you, Sam, do you think then that rights holders need to have greater integrity when awarding events in the future? A loaded question, but Sam, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought before that, you know, I've had a few issues here. I think, you know, as far as engaging a city, of course, there's two issues as far as marketing is concerned. One is internal, that's national or local, and the other is international. We need to look at that because, and may I also start on a different concept altogether now before going on to this particular issue about sponsors, because that's also one of the issues that I've raised. The issue is, you know, when we look at future events, we need to study the past, we need to analyze the future and see what is happening. Because as we know now, as far as host cities are concerned, they are now, I wouldn't say confronted, but they now have to engage in very many other issues which never happened before. For instance, the COVID issues. And of course, we had other force majeure events. But for instance, now we have issues, for instance, the World Cup, moving from one season to another season. So all these needs extra marketing. And this can affect every one of us. For instance, the postponement of the Olympic Games, that affected all international sports events. And by the same token, it affected host cities. So we need to look at this in a very much more wider perspective than at the moment we're looking at it now. We need to look at it more laterally. That is my overall view on this. And coming back to the marketing issues, what I think we need to be careful about as far as the sponsors are concerned, I know, of course, everybody now is clamoring for title sponsorship. We need to look at that, how that affects a general sponsorship, how that affects marketing generally, how that affects a partnership generally. And I think those are issues which we need to tackle at the moment.
Thanks. I'm going to bring David in, and excuse me for asking this, but I've got the perfect position to do this now. As one of the leading brands in the world around major events, how important is integrity for you in terms of contracts that you'll sign with host cities?
I was thinking about it. Look, I think you need to make a difference between your personal opinion first and this room, which I think everybody is obviously doing business or is interested in sports. So I think the best you can do from a non-decision position, because obviously we have no influence on where events are awarded, is that, first of all, if you are based there, is to deal with integrity and to make sure you are applying the same rules there that you're applying in Europe or in more mature markets like Australia, so that you pay your employees well, that you treat them well, that you treat them with respect. More than that, let's be honest, a lot of people here in the room, be it Beijing, you can have comments even on Italy these days, sports and politics, or events and politics, I don't think that you should mix it up. I mean, yeah, you can have questions about Qatar. We ourselves have been for more than 20 years in Qatar. We are operating in Saudi Arabia, but treating employees and local employees and creating jobs and making sure that we bring a modern vision to the employees we have. So I think that's the best we can do.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to come back to Ivo now, and one of the things you asked us to talk about was, we all know that in 2024 in Paris, we're going to see an opening ceremony down the Seine. We're going to see the Paris ceremony at the Place de la Concorde, I think, which was announced quite recently. Is that something that IFs and rights holders should be looking at taking their events outside of the traditional environments? Ivo?
But we said before, we are facing a new era. You know, we have to think out of the box. You know, before, what was the normality before? Now I have to be different. I think this idea is a very exciting idea with a lot of problems. Of course, you can imagine the security on this regard. But, you know, bring to the sport to the people, you know, not just to make, you know, a very elite of people can attend it, you know, make the people feel you are part of the event. And the cities, they invest so much public money, not for themselves, for the people. I remind you what I told before. Everyone have a boss. The boss of the politician are the people that elect him, elect them. You know, important to understand, you have to involve the people. You act in name for your citizen, but you have to bring them in these events. And being, I was in Buenos Aires for the Youth Olympic Games. It was fantastic. Of course, they are not the games like it will be in Paris. But it was something really exceptional because I feel the people be part of this event, support also the decision maker on this event. So I think it's a new event. And thinking differently, also Milano Cortina show a new way for the winter sport to afford the games, not just to centralize in one city and overload the one city of all the cost, all the constraints, but using existing venues. So we have to think differently. I can speak hours about things, but you know, what was before is not what we have now, and believe me, in 20 years, the situation will be even better, and even different. We have to work. I see many young people here. We can just help you to think out of the box and be better than us to create in the future in the best way. You have to learn for the roots. We come from some experience, but we have to move forward in a new future. The best way to predict the future is to build the future together. So try to figure out how can be the future of the sport, of the event, of the cities, and then working together in these regards. Not wait, someone decide, and so on. That is very important. So we need a new generation to help us. I have mentors. Some, I have Circle Greedy. They are my mentors. They teach me a lot. And I try to be at least part of good like they are. But we need people give you some directions. And then for that, you have to take your decision. So therefore, we have to be here to provocate ourselves to see and to figure out how we can be better in future hosting event in any case. Thank you.
Sam, so building on that, you raised a really fascinating question here. Are the values and norms of Pierre de Coubertin in hosting future events still alive and valid? Discuss. Over to you, Sam.
Yeah, well, actually, this was a question put by very many. I attended not long ago an IOC IOA Academy session in Olympia, and this was a debate that I got outside of the general milieu of issues. What are the values and what are the norms that Pierre de Coubertin put forward, and are they still valid? But my view, it's both valid in very many respects because the principles are the same. We have not yet veered away from the principle. Obviously, the norm, how we approach it, are different simply because Pierre de Coubertin's Olympic Games are more than 100 years old. And many things have happened. And as Ivo pointed out now, we're looking at the opening ceremony for 2024, which is going to be a little different, or shall I say totally different, from what we had in 2016. And of course, we know what had happened in 2016. We had very many other issues there. But this is an innovative thing. And I think the important thing is what these students have found out, and they said that society has moved along. And Pierre de Coubertin had a very papal element of how the Olympic Games should go along with. And obviously, of course, the papacy hasn't moved a lot, no doubt, but Olympic movement has moved a lot, quite to an extent that we are now embracing society, as our other speakers have put forward, especially Ivo. We are embracing the world, and in embracing the world, it has to be different. In that respect, I still believe that we have addressed the issues and still continue to address the issues of Pierre de Coubertin as the founding father of the Olympic Games. But at the same time, it's an evolutionary process. The Olympic Games is a live event. It moves along all the time. And what is happening now is a type of innovation that we've not seen in the past. And for instance, you know, Eva mentioned about the 2018 Youth Olympic Games. I am certain that Paris 2024 have also been inspired by this. And I don't think this was an issue that Pierre de Coubertin anyway had an idea, but the issue is the principles that the opening ceremony, the principles of competition are still valid. And also, of course, there is this issue, you know, whether winning or participating is important. But I think that's another debate we will get to at another time.
Thanks, Sam. I'm going to build on that, because we've got a lot of people in the room here that obviously come from regions and cities throughout various parts of the world. Turning to Susan, you know, you look after one of the biggest local authorities in the UK, incredibly diverse and eclectic programme. How do citizens of this city in the future help shape major events in their city?
Well, I think you know, building on what both Ivo and Sam have said, that for events like the Olympics, you have to have a host city. You have to have a host city to host these events, to realise that vision, to realise those values. So what is it then that makes a host city want to put itself in that space and actually commit public money? And we talk about the challenging space for sponsorship and your comments about what's happening in Qatar with the association with the host city or the host country there around sponsorship. So if there is less sponsorship, then you're going to have to rely on the host city and that public money to really come behind and support these events. So if that's going to be the new reality, then the citizens have to be involved. So if you go back to maybe Glasgow, and actually I was really interesting really reading around the approach that Paris is taking. So the social enterprise network, the way that contracts are appointed, the inclusion of generating new ways. Glasgow, we had the portal, the procurement portal, which ensured that local businesses, Scottish businesses, could bid and get the economic benefit from the games. So the volunteering wasn't just like the kind of the circus moving around the world and those who are professional volunteers volunteering around the world. It was the host city. We had host city volunteers as well. So those connections with citizens, both as volunteers and actually the benefit economically for the local businesses, are really, really important. So we have to make the case for why. So yes, the sporting event is a wonderful spectacle. You know, the celebration of sporting excellence is an amazing thing to be proud of. But actually, if you're going to host it in your city, then it has to be more than that. It has to back to that economic, social, and we move on to the environmental benefit. So the actual environmental impact of hosting the Games cannot be detrimental to the city. If you look at the COP last year, as a driver for change, we then need to change. So the SEC in Glasgow now is one of the most sustainable conference venues in the world. So actually, we need to then turn that around and use the events to drive the innovation. And actually, an interesting question back to yourself, Ivo, is how do you get then international federations then to help in partnership with host city to actually drive some of those innovations? And that's the space for collaboration. And that's then the space that gives us the hope for the future.
Do you want to come back on that, Ivo?
Of course. We have to work together, you know. In International Federation now, when we present K candidacy for I mean, I want to say the games. You know, the games are the top event. Before was the we was able, or let me say, we had the habit to ask the nice to have. It's no more the time. Now we have to ask what is necessary. Do a lot with less. So it's important that things, because, you know, and reusing existing venue. Don't ask something fantastic, ivory towers where we can put the people inside just for a couple days or some weeks. But we have to be back to the normality. The people have to support us because they see we as, let me say, politician. I don't like to say I'm a politician, but anyway, decision maker, try to optimize the things. And we do that for and in name of the people they elect us. That's very important. I'm I still be emotional when I see after 18 years in Torino, my home city where we organize the games, I have friends here, people walking now in the winter with the jacket of volunteer. That means they still be proud, you know? What you have to do something sustainable, mean economical sustainable, because sustainability at the end of the story is money. You know, if you reduce to minimal term, you cannot spend what we don't have. And keep the people involved. They have to feel themselves part of this process. Not something come from the top, parachuting from we don't know where. We have to involve people in this process. You have to change the approach. Not just top down. We have to try to enlarge the core of the people support us. So we have to change different things. We can do a lot of things, but we have to do with rationality. Involve people.
Thanks. I'm going to come to David now, who's obviously got huge experience in the whole sustainability market. I mean, it's quite interesting. Scotland attracted a Korean sponsor of golf this year, Genesis Cars, and we couldn't find enough charging points for the cars in the country. So that was a real challenge for, you know, a real high-end sponsor coming into the nation. It's something that I guess we were quite shocked about. But David, you know, your company's at the forefront of technology moving forward. I sense from some of the feedback you're giving to me, there's a bit of a push me, pull me in terms of technology and cost.
Yes, because I was listening to Susan and Ivo, and personally, yeah, we came out of COVID because, yeah, let's say that, that when I talk about the event suppliers. So it was terrible for everybody, but there was one sector where it was really, really terrible. It was for all the event suppliers. We went from everything in 2019 to nothing. And the problem was that early this year, we went from nothing to everything. Everybody wanted an event in a weekend or two events. So, and we lost a lot of people, like you said, Paul, a lot of people left the business, and we are not recovering them back because it's still there is still this idea of risk. And then you throw on that big ideas, the event delivery model, which Paris has, which the UCI 2023 has. And I'm thinking there, how do you match that? Because that's basically bringing international experience people to deliver for you. So I remember, and not throwing you flowers, Susan, but Glasgow 2014, all these young kids in the organizing committee, which did a career after that. So where are they placed now in this new event delivery model? So that's a question I think we need to ask ourselves. Is there space when you bring in private into organizing committee for young kids to grow in this sector? And then sustainability, because if you start to fragment everything, and to be very honest, I think the last time was 2019 here. Yeah, I saw a lot of push from the IOC. I saw a lot of push from the big organization. But in the meantime, the ones who kept going, the F1s, the Formula E's, the circuses a bit, the two, yeah, they invested much more. And this is with private money. This is not with public money. Obviously, public money, that's what we are seeing, is a problem at the moment. You cut on a lot. And I think there are cuttings on sustainability again. So it's basically what we see from an event supply chain is that the push from private money is much more harder to go beyond, an opening ceremony in public, because Glasgow already did that in 2014. It's not, yes, the Olympics are the elephant in the room, and bringing 3 million people around the sand is going to be, but it's also not, you know, it's not breathtaking. It's just finally taking it out of the castle and bringing it to the people back. So, yeah, it's a bit mix. We are searching our place, I think, with the event supply chain. A lot of push on sustainability, but then again, dragged around because, yeah, there is a cost problem, like you said, like Ivo said. Inflation is high. People left the business. So we are in this. Yeah, and there has never been so much events around the world.
So just building on that, I mean, I think everyone in the room, probably every event they have, you need some form of technical power supply. And for most events, particularly the big ones, it's a part of the contract. Where do you see technology in your area in the next 5 to 10 years moving?
Now it's moving faster. So for our company, we have cut completely on diesel almost. So the old fossil fuels. So we have the biofuels coming in, which is the easiest one. To be very honest, we try to promote as most as possible the grid. Use the grid, existing venues. Renew your contracts, take renewable grid. So that's the easiest part, to be zero carbon on your energy. And then you have the new technology. But again, the problem with the new technology is the solar in, and we are talking temporary, so bringing them to stadiums, bringing hydrogen. It's costing money. And then we come again to the same difficult exercise for the organizers. Where do I put my money? And because you have to, like you say, you have to recycle your food. You have to try to be energy efficient. You have to make clothing which can be reused. So all of that is bringing all these costs of the events back up. And there is a crisis. And there is inflation. And so it's a very difficult mix, I can only imagine, for the moment, for organizers to make their choices.
I think David hits on some really interesting points there. Sam, coming to you, in terms of a South African context, how do you see the future of the events landscape in South Africa developing over the next 5 to 10 years? I mean, I guess there was huge disappointment not getting the Commonwealth Games for 22. Obviously, Birmingham this summer was hugely successful. Great games, but I remember visiting Durban in 2018 as part of the inspection visit, and I think it would have been a great city. So where's the landscape for you guys in South Africa?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Durban had some very, very serious difficulties. In fact, it's still trying to overcome that, and it was a blessing in disguise that Commonwealth Games didn't take place in there. Durban, because there were huge floods, massive big floods. And in fact, the country and the province is still trying to recuperate as a result of that. And there's still water supply problems, etc. But I think that is an issue we are addressing. But at the moment, I think the issue is that we are going for single sport events. Single sport events are easier to organize. And the marketing is of a different concept altogether. And for that particular reason, we're looking at single sport events. And at the moment, as you know, we're looking at the Women's World Cup, FIFA World Cup, at whether we can get it, and hopefully we will get it. And of course, we've had events in the past. In 2010, we had the FIFA World Cup. But again, you see, the issue here is, to some extent, there's also political interference. And there, I think, sadly, all of us are aware of it, and how to overcome it is a big problem. Coming back to technology, and again, we are aware of what technology is. And a very good example of how technology helped turn the whole city around is Barcelona. And as we know, you know, they were in Spain. They did not have an open electric grid for the entire country, and of course, Barcelona inspired them to do that, and that brought about a different type of a concept. And we see Barcelona today in 2022 so much different than we saw Barcelona in 1992. But coming back to that very same issue in South Africa, we've had World Cup events in cricket, in rugby, in football, and very many other events, and that is what we are concentrating on now, simply because our resources, again, are limited simply because of the value of the South African currency. at the moment, the you know, if you could compare South African currency with the UK, where UK people are having a great holiday coming to South Africa because everything is so cheap here, simply because the South African rand has devalued tremendously. That again produces a different type of a concept that we need to look at. How we can, as you have pointed out, how we can engage the population. In that respect, we have very little problems at all, because whenever we have major events, the entire country is behind us. And that, I think, is something different from other countries, because South Africa the society is very gregarious, unlike other societies, which is not so gregarious. And we all get together. And to some extent, we are partially arrogant also, because, you know, we always say, well, this is coming to South Africa, whether we like it or not, let's make a good job of it. And in that respect, we are looking at events again. We're looking at volleyball events. We are looking at swimming events. We're looking at short course swimming events, because long course swimming events brings other types of hazards for us, because we have to bring so many other facilities, not only a single stadium. We need so many other stadiums. We're looking into that, and that is where at the moment our target and projection is.
Thank you. Obviously, Sam's got a consultancy with the South African Tourist Board. I'm just going to open the room up. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes left before I go back to the panel for their final comments and thoughts. Any questions, any burning questions from anybody? Duncan?
Duncan Mackay, Inside the Game. A question for Ivo. Thomas Bach gave another speech today at the G20 summit in Bali, saying that sport shouldn't become a weapon of politics. Yet you want Vladimir Putin, who's currently waging a legal war in Ukraine, at Sport Accord next year, discussing sport. Is it not the case that the Olympic movement wants it both ways?
You know better than me, because I was not aware what he said in Bali, but you cannot read everything. No, but you know, sport has to be a way for sport. Is a great opportunity to use sport to solve or try to help to solve some problems, you know. Remember 2,500 years ago, when for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 1 month, everyone stopped to fight and meet each other there. It was not just the fact that was competing together, but it was the fact that people can talk each other. When you have the war, we have two blocks, one side, the other side. Sport can help people to sit together without jacket, without weapon, without things, and then try to talk. Remember what I told before, the Davos of sport, forum of sport, where meet people together. So we need to try to help the world through sport. And we need to be sure that the politics don't invade the sport. It's not easy. I know to remember. But, you know, we try to use the sport as a positive tool in this difficult area.
Thanks, Duncan. Any other questions? Yeah, we've got a question here. If you could give your name and where you're from as well, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Andy Rice from Major Events International. This is a rather contentious question for Susan. Susan, put yourself in the position of the Supreme Committee in Qatar. Do you think that they are sitting in Doha now regretting the decision to throw their hat in the ring for the FIFA World Cup?
I have no idea what's going on there. However, what I would say is that when we all look at the motivation for bringing these kind of mega events to our cities and our countries, it has to be about presenting a positive image of what we are and what we do and our values. I mean, and I think it is a really difficult space, you know, that but the values of sport, you know, that kind of free and fair competition is something that I think we would all stand by and want to see projected. So I think I maybe think that the PR is not going as well as they had hoped.
I agree.
Any final question in the room? Yes, we've got one at the back.
You mentioned sort of the change in technology, change in consumer behaviours. event selection and actually hosting the event itself?
That's a good question. Ivo, do you want to go first?
You know, it depends on what kind of event you want to organize and the infrastructure. Now we try to have the condition that we reutilize existing infrastructure. That can reduce also this period, you know. Of course, before and even now, if you have to build everything from scratch, of course, we need time. But we need this new philosophy, we can also reduce this time. Depending on the different tasks. Winter sport, for example, I can speak about myself. Reutilizing existing venues mean you reduce also the construction time. Organizing an event, you know better than me, is relatively easy when you know how to do it. Are the buildings, procedures, they are not so fast. But let me say, COVID and this situation oblige us to think differently, to optimize the time, to reduce the cost, to reutilize what we have, saving also concrete spread all over the world. So try to reutilize. So this is a reduction in cost, reduction in waste, and optimization on the delivery situation. So I think I hope that was enough for as a question.
I think speaking personally from a Scottish perspective, I think it depends on the event, as Ivo said. And infrastructure, I think, is the big one, particularly in the sporting context. I think business and culture is quite different. I'm going to sadly have to wrap it up, but I'm going to go to each of the panelists first. Your elevator pitch, 1 minute, in terms of the big things around the next 5 to 10 years from your perspective in events. Sam, just go to you first. 1 minute.
The big thing, no doubt, is to get the community around, as all of us indicated, number one. And secondly, which I think is very, very important, how we utilize facilities. And we need to ensure that we get the community involved, but look at it from all the aspects that we are now suffering from, environment, sexual discrimination of one type or the other, and other issues which bring people together. And as Mandela has said, sport is a very important component in uniting people. And that, I think, should be the utmost target point for all of us. Unity in diversity.
Thanks, Sam. Susan?
I think the future of events is extremely positive. I think if nothing else, COVID has driven that drive for experiences, for feeling what it's like to be an event, whether that is about intellectual exchange at business events, cultural events, or sporting events. I think the demand is there, but not at any cost.
Ivo?
Do a lot of things with less cost. It's possible to do it. And we, as Federation, we have to ask less. So just because you spend, we ask your money to be spent, we can ask what we want. And let me say, together, with the people around us, the taxi driver, till the restaurant people, till, you know, we have to bring the people together to understand we do that for the global interest, the global community, not for some elite people that like to do things like that.
And the final words with you, David?
Yeah. Was laughing with you because I was about to say, well, choose your battles. So doing with less, but don't ask them to also have the world delivered to you, because that's not going together. Certainly from the event supply chain, it was hurted massively during COVID. So we need to recover also. So that's it.
So thanks to Sam in Durban, to Susan, Ivo, and David. And I guess my final comments would be, change or be changed. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.